Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 11th day of April, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Allen. There's some really big stories today, but beyond that, there are some really revealing stories. Actually, all of them are very revealing, but I want to start out with one that kind of sets the stage for the big stuff. This is a piece that I hope will get some traction. I did see it a number of places on the web, including Zero Hedge, as well as places like Alex Jones InfoWars. We're going to lose a major war, say people who saw the photo of the commanding officer of the USS John S. McCain, what else? An Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer with an idiot at the helm. Commander Cameron Yeast, who was pictured wielding the kind of gun that you peons are no doubt not allowed to have because he's so much more, well, absolutely firearms illiterate than anybody else out there, age 10 or above, who grew up in rural America while we're still a constitutional republic and learned to shoot before he could drive a car. This guy, on the other hand, can't be trusted with a rifle. Makes me wonder what he's doing at the helm of a destroyer. Does he even know which end the bullets come out? Now, if you're wondering what I'm talking about, it goes like this. The now-deleted image, says Zero Hedge, and the press release on the Defense Visual Information Distribution Service website featured Yeast, apparently, well, pretending to shoot an M4 with a Trigicon VCOG scope installed backwards, while he pointed the gun at a giant target balloon and obviously doesn't even know how to hold a rifle. Here's what the press release from the U.S. Navy said before somebody realized, uh-oh, this makes us look downright idiotic, and deleted it. Quote, Commander Cameron Yeast, commanding officer of the Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer USS John S. McCain, DDG-56, fires at the killer tomato during a gun shoot. The ship is in the U.S. 7th Fleet conducting routine operations. 7th Fleet is the U.S. Navy's largest forward-deployed numbered fleet and routinely interacts and operates with allies and partners in preserving, are you ready for this, a free and open Indo-Pacific region. When they're not doing stupid things and teaching people about transgender ideals and diversity, they're sure as hell not teaching them how to shoot a rifle. I wonder if they're teaching them to sail a boat. And I do suspect that if this guy wants to keep his job after this little embarrassment, maybe he'll have to come out as a transgender himself. The picture, as you might suspect, has been removed, but here are a couple of comments. And this, by the way, is in the headline. One of them says, we're going to lose a major war. Another adds, what a laughingstock the U.S. Navy has become, and by implication, the entire U.S. military. And finally, there's this. How could this have passed muster by any Navy personnel? The scope is on backwards. The foregrip is in an almost totally unusable position, entirely ridiculous. This guy doesn't even know how to hold a rifle, and he said, quote, my six-year-old grandson knows better than this. Which is why the six-year-old grandson, folks, doesn't have any kind of a career ahead in a dumbed-down training Navy. Oh, yeah, folks, and as the comments explode on the web, this one really caught my eye. The longer you study this photo, said one, the worse it looks. As we work our way up to the big story, this came out over the weekend, in case you didn't hear it. Newly released January 6th security video, and this is part of the reason why they kept it secret for year after year after year, shows yet another set of suspected FBI agents clapping and cheering and basically being embedded in the crowd. Some of them, as it turns out, were off duty. They were actually there as supporters of the actually elected president, while others were on duty, and they were hiding within the crowd, pretending to be MAGA supporters, and evidently doing their best to make sure that the insurrection went as planned. In other words, we've known for years now that it was a Fed-surrection. That evidence just keeps coming out, being suppressed, and then still coming out. But there is a lot more that you may have heard about that's come out over the last couple of days regarding the corruption of the FBI, CIA, and other so-called intelligence agencies and attempts to destroy what's left of the Constitutional Republic by means of a term that you've hopefully heard by now, lawfare. Turns out that what it really is just good old-fashioned organized crime, a mob pretending to be law enforcement. But isn't that what Don Vito Corleone was up to in the Godfather series anyway?
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
And in the case of Alex Jones and a whole lot of others up to and including Donald Trump, they ended up getting a whole lot worse than a dead horse's head in their bed. The story goes like this, courtesy originally of a group called Sound Investigations at soundinvestigations.com, and it's all over the web. If you can't find it, folks, keep looking, because I encourage you to see the video. The captions make it a lot more obvious what's going on. Even though I could play the audio for you, you could mostly get it. It's actually really good for an undercover recording. Still, I think it's really important to see it in context, to watch the face of this absolutely reprehensible scumbag, and just get an idea about the very nature of these satanically evil people. It really is infuriating to watch their facial expressions while they joke about gang raping the rule of law, because they really do think they're so much better than you are. The story goes like this. I'm looking at Christina Leda's coverage for the Gateway Pundit. Breaking, it says, undercover video shows CIA officer and former FBI officer boasting, quote, we can put anyone in jail, set them up. The FBI, quote, did what we wanted, and with Alex Jones, they, quote, took his money away, even cut his legs off. These guys really do make the average mob boss look like a pretty nice guy by comparison. Gavin O'Blenis is the name of this scumbag. He's a contracting officer for the CIA. By the way, if you look for him online, you'll find that his online presence seems to have been dramatically reduced over the last couple of days. Who could have thought it? His LinkedIn account and two Facebook have all been mysteriously disappeared. But he told an undercover journalist with Sound Investigations that the FBI can put anyone that they want to in jail, just set them up. We call it a nudge, he said. Sounds a little bit like Monty Python, folks, except that was funny. He added that the FBI can put the problematic, people that they declare to be right-wing journalists, or you know the term, domestic violent extremists, even if there's nothing violent about them, they are people like Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones in jail, or destroy their business, their good name, their family, and their livelihood. He said of InfoWars founder Alex Jones, the FBI, quote, took his money away and then, quote, chopped his legs off. At this point, I do want to play at least a taste of the video. Here's the introduction to it. And even in audio only, you can at least get a feel for the level of smirking self-satisfaction exuded by this absolute piece of human filth.
You can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do.
How?
Just set them up.
Does the Bureau practice entrapment a lot?
We get really close. We call it a nudge.
A nudge.
A nudge. Sometimes you just got to give them a quick little... just to see what happens. Sometimes you like the fuse and just wait for it to follow. Nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
You are?
He did what we wanted.
Which was what?
Took his money away. Chopped his legs off.
Let me just add this, folks. Back when we had a constitutional republic and a rule of law, this is what trials for treason were about. This is exactly what making war on the states and the people looks like when Big Brother does it, and then they twist their arm patting themselves on the back for how clever they are about it. The news has come out in the last day or so that Alex Jones is, I guess you'd say finally, but now he's got everything he needs to actually go through with it, not to mention the credibility to find some very good lawyers to take on one of the biggest Big Brothers in all of human history. But he is talking about suing the FBI and CIA and who knows how many other TLAs for making war on him and the American people. We'll see whether anything comes of it, but it's at least encouraging to see what we've known for so long begin to come out. And more people are waking up to how far gone the republic now is. Alex Jones appeared on Steve Bannon's show and had quite a bit to say. I'm going to play an extended clip from that.
This Gavin O'Blevis character has been at DHS for a long time. He's a big liberal SJW, social justice warrior. And he then went and worked for the FBI, and now he works as a contract manager that manages the contracts and operations for the CIA. He got caught by one of these Project Veritas style groups that previously last year helped bring down Pornhub in Texas and triggered that criminal investigation when they caught the footage of executives at Pornhub saying, yes, we target and are trying to recruit children. So this very respected group, Sound Investigations is what they're called, they we're out doing a dragnet research with undercover operatives of federal agents, and we're asking about persecution of people like Tucker Carlson and Alex Jones. And this Levis character starts bragging about how he was made aware at the FBI and CIA of how they had basically run an information operation against me, mainly to demonize Trump, where they made up a bunch of stuff I never said or did, hyped it all up in the press, then advised groups how to sue me and how to do it in certain jurisdictions to basically rig it to, quote, cut my legs off, take me off the air, and try to silence me because, quote, I was one of the loudest voices. And so now the report has gone extremely viral, Elon Musk and others have been responding and saying that it needs to be investigated. The same Democrat Party law firm that has been quarterbacking this against me is now quarterbacking the lawsuits against Elon Musk. They also have quarterbacked the operations against Giuliani and Trump. So it's all run out of New York and D.C. The information operations run out of D.C., the CIA, then the legal response run with the Democrats out of New York. And it's all right there.
Hang on. I want to make sure this is their classic playbook to Alinsky. You were had a platform and you were the loudest voice with no back down saying exactly what they were doing. They specifically targeted you to hurt the Trump movement. You were Alinsky'd with operatives, but most importantly, with actual government assets, with CIA, FBI, DOJ, they specifically target you for your destruction, sir.
Well, just like we saw in the weaponization hearings, that you and I already knew about it, we experienced it in the last 6-7 years. But in the hearings last year, they confirmed that FBI and CIA, and they even had the emails of the CIA saying, this isn't really legal what we're doing. I mean, that email came out where they were reaching out to Facebook, which is Meta, and Instagram, and Google, and then Twitter at the time, and with hundreds of thousands of requests we know of, saying, take this down, take that down. What the hell are you doing? Cussing at the executives and high-level moderators at the big tech social media platforms, not just about Hunter Biden's laptop, but on thousands of different subjects, including even the Afghan withdrawal. Hey, don't let people criticize the Afghan disastrous snap withdrawal that Biden did and the 80-plus billion in weapons that they gave the Taliban and the rest of them. So, and ISIS-K. So this is just another level of how they're inside of there actually running this. It's totally illegal. It's 100 times considerably larger on the scale of what came out in Senator Frank Church's hearings in the 70s.
He goes on to say we need some serious hearings, and on that score, folks, I guess I'll say we'll see if it ever happens. With the possible exception of Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has moved in that direction, I don't expect anything to come from a do-nothing, limp-wristed, absolutely neutered Congress. And I realize that's given them quite a bit of the benefit of the doubt, because I think a lot of them are just playing on the Communist Chinese Party at all take. Nor from a court system that's so on the take and corrupt that they would allow this kind of thing to happen to begin with. Oh, yeah, you're going to go back to them and see if now they'll decide to do something about it? Well, folks, at least the good news, again, people need to wake up and just recognize this is where we are. And here's yet another conspiracy theory that has been revealed to be not only fact, but worse than the conspiracists probably ever originally dreamed. Remember, they've been trying to hang Alex Jones to the tune of over $1 billion. Not because they want to bleed the turnip, but because they want to scare you into submission and silence, too. All right, we'll certainly come back to that as it begins to play out and we see whether or not anybody actually pays any attention. I wouldn't expect CNN, MSNBC, or any of the three-letter agencies masquerading as news organizations to pay it too much attention. After all, they've been ignoring it and hiding it all along. They knew it was eventually going to come out, so I'm sure they have contingency plans here. But I do have a couple more stories from the, hey, they've been lying about this too front. Here's another one from Zero Hedge, and guess what? This is now showing up as 404 when you try to find it. But the CDC has hidden additional information about the Zyklon B injection, this time a link between the poison poke and people that are suffering from tinnitus. They just never bothered to inform the public about links that were right there in the data. I guess that's kind of trivial compared to mothers losing their babies and people dying outright from all kinds of nasty things, from strokes and heart attacks to blood clots. Oh, yeah, and let's not forget turbo cancers. Because they certainly want you to. And here's another one that should raise some eyebrows. Remember how fast various journals like JAMA and The Lancet and others were when it came to removing any information that might show that you might save your life if you knew to take hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin rather than destroying your immune system with a Zyklon B injection or several? You know, folks, the mRNA that turns you into a little spike protein factory. Well, now there's this from Zachary Stiber via the Epoch Times, a popular study that claimed ivermectin had no effectiveness whatsoever, no, not at all, against all-cause mortality, contains false information. But guess what? The meta-analysis, published in 2021 by the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases, explores how groups in randomized controlled trials fared after receiving ivermectin compared to control groups, and basically, they lied, saying that ivermectin, quote, did not reduce all-cause mortality. Trouble is, the claim is wrong, They lied about the data. A corrected version properly portraying the trial's results for all-cause mortality did summarize things correctly, but still falsely claimed none of the trial showed an actual benefit. And guess what? Dr. Hernandez, associate professor at the University of Connecticut School of Pharmacy, and others were aware of the false information, but he and the Clinical Infectious Diseases Journal didn't bother to respond to requests for comment. What are they going to say? We lied? We're proud of it? Maybe they can get them on videotape in an undercover sting operation. Meanwhile, remember how Big Brother keeps prattling about misinformation and how they want to make sure you aren't allowed to talk about it? Well, you aren't allowed to correct it either. I guess that's, or we'll put it in Animal Farm, paraphrasing a bit, some misinformation really is more equal than others. Is another one of those things that just kind of manages to, on purpose, I think, slip under the radar. The Gateway pundits Anthony Scott tells us that the FBI quietly released unclassified file information on the murdered Ashley Babbitt. When did they decide to do it? Oh, yeah, right during the solar eclipse, when they didn't think anybody'd be paying attention. But even so, it was a highly redacted 69-page file on the details of her execution, as well as her military background and testimonies about Babbitt's character. And furthermore, on page 3 of the file, this bit of disinformation mysteriously, well, no, not so mysteriously appeared. It was written, since Babbitt is deceased, ha ha ha, I added that, folks, but you can kind of hear it in there anyway, can't you? Therefore, this case is not being nominated to the TSDB, the so-called terrorist screening database. So even though we're stomping on her grave, we want to make sure you understand we're not going to put this in the terrorist database. Like what? Like they would if she'd survived their execution? What heartless, gutless, traitorous scumbags. By the way, they don't even mention the name of the guy who executed her, the firearms illiterate incompetent, who doesn't even know how to handle a gun properly anyway, Lieutenant Mike Byrd, now promoted to captain. Wonder if they'll make him captain of a naval vessel, too. And if you're curious what was redacted, well, anonymous tips made by unnamed individuals through the FBI's tip line, probably from some of their CHSs and other scumbags. Who knows? Maybe upstanding folks like Gavin O'Blenis. This next item would be funny if it wasn't so true, and I'll just read it with a little comment. Comes from Russia Today, written by Andrei Shushentov, program director of the Valdai Club, and it's entitled, Americans just plain can't tell us who blew up the Nord Stream pipelines, but, isn't it amazing, they managed to solve the Moscow terror attack in just 15 minutes. I guess it's fair to say that the Russians aren't drinking the CIA, FBI, DHS, TLA Kool-Aid either. Before we run out of time today, let's take at least a quick look at the economic meltdown, not only still in progress, but accelerating. Wall Street reacts to the red-hot inflation print from yesterday with the comment from Zero Hedge and Tyler Durden that, obviously, this is very bad news for the Biden-Fuhrer and Bidenomics. The CPI number, which followed three previous red-hot inflation prints, has just hit the fourth consecutive inflation beat in a row. Yes, it was worse than expected, and it saw every single CPI metric coming in hotter than expected as well. And it was shocking not because it reflected reality, and by that, folks, they mean that the inflation is real. It's just that they're still not reporting how real it is, or the actual numbers, as you know. For example, what's called super core CPI, services excluding rents, jumped from a out-of-control 3.9% year-over-year and still grossly again understated in February to 4.8% in March. That's heading the wrong way. Who could have imagined that they wouldn't be able to lie better than this? Or maybe that means the real numbers are so far out of control, they're lying as best as they can. But because this effectively seals the Biden-Fuhrer's fate. As Bloomberg's Chris Ansley writes, obviously, this is very bad news for the guy pretending to be president. We're approaching the point where high inflation is bound to still be in voters' minds when they head to the polls, regardless of how, and I'll paraphrase this just a bit, they rig the price figures over the coming summer. We'll follow that up with another story. After the red-hot CPI print, all bets are off, and there's market mayhem, says the piece, again from Zero Hedge, after consumer prices crush the dreams of the dove. Uh-oh, there goes the rate cut. But wait, the Fed needs to drop interest rates. Biden needs the rate cut, whether he knows it or not, if they're going to rig the election for him and even make it look remotely plausible. Well, there goes another one. How about this story, courtesy of Costco, as well as Zero Hedge? Pamp it, says the headline. Last December, Costco, one of the biggest wholesale retailers in the nation, announced they had sold over $100 million in total worth of gold in the third quarter of 2023. Their CEO said, you probably read that we're selling one-ounce gold bars. Yeah, we sold a lot of them, said CFO Richard Galenti. Well, now Wells Fargo is admitting, hey, it goes beyond that. Costco may now, and I hope you're sitting down, folks, may now be running at $100 million or more a month, perhaps as many as $200 million in gold sales each and every month. Turns out that more and more people are realizing, you know what? Inflation really is out of control. They're lying, and if I can buy gold bars at Costco, why shouldn't I load up the cart with them? Well, at least as many as I can afford, because my dollars aren't going to be worth anything real soon now anyway. And while the prices are not disclosed to non-members, says the piece, Costco is selling one-ounce gold bars, nearly 24-karat pure gold, and it's estimated the product generally sells about 2% or so above the spot price, which, having increased dramatically of late and is now well over $2,350 an ounce, puts the Costco price at just over $2,400 and a heck of a lot less than you can probably get it anywhere else. No wonder they're selling a lot of it. And, oh, yeah, no wonder Big Brother and his public-private bank Bankster partners are having trouble keeping a lid on the paper price at this point. One more quick headline here as we wrap it up for today. This comes from Michael Snyder at the Economic Collapse blog, and the headline really does tell the story. I cannot afford to live, says the piece. Americans are getting emotional as the U.S. economy not only goes off the rails, but people are realizing not only is it not going to come back, it can't continue this way, or something is going to break. And guess what it's going to end up being? Well, we've known this for a long time, folks, but now it's increasingly undeniable. Inflation is getting worse, you know, at the same time many key sectors of the economy are slowing down. That was by design, and it's getting harder and harder to even deny that this was the purpose, the point, the goal all along. Well, perhaps I should clarify and say an intermediate goal, because the ultimate goal, the final goal, is the mark of the beast and the kind of satanic slavery that goes along with that. Still, though, I want to introduce this final piece with a quick quote from Whoopi the Evil Goldberg, who said on ABC's The View this Wednesday, the only view that they're going to let you hear, that Republicans really do want to bring slavery back. Here's the clip.
Take a look at the things that they're rolling back. Mm. Remember I said ages ago, you know, they, in their minds, they want to bring slavery back. They're okay with it.
Who are we kidding? She's okay with it, too. She just wants to be your master. And here's what I mean. We'll close with this story. On March 5th of this year, the World Bank Group president, A.J. Banga, and Hans Vestberg, chairman and CEO of Verizon, they want to force 5G down your pores, were guest panelists at the Global Digital Summit in the Swamp in D.C. discussing the power of digital technologies and how the public and private sectors can be partners, collaborate to accelerate this mission. You know what it's called, the Mark of the Beast. And the World Bank Summit highlighted, says the Wine Press News coverage, forward-thinking perspectives, cutting-edge technologies, and new insights centered on three pillars. One, connect. Two, innovate. And three, transform or mark. Said Banga, it's important we have a sense of crisis. Quote, a sense of crisis is your best friend. Never let a crisis go to waste. A sense of crisis is your best friend in getting people to agree to tackle this triangle, along with the enabling tool of technology. Und the biggest headroom is geopolitics and fractionizing of the global order. That's why I believe in digital for us. Well, for you, anyway. Banga said these new digital elements are needed for governance. Vestberg followed up by saying, we have the common goal that it shouldn't matter where you're born or where you come from or who you are, unquote, but you must be part, whether you like it or not, of the digital society. Said Bangham, I think providing infrastructure is a core element, but on top of that, creating a digital identity platform for citizenry is foundational. The government should be the owner of your digital ID, unquote, and Vestberg agreed, absolutely, he said, 100%. Oh, yeah, they said a little bit later on. Understand it'll be really private, and at least at first, it will be voluntary, kinda, sorta. That is, if you don't want to eat. It'll be ready by 2030, too. Oh, and it's part of the social contract of a citizen with their country to have that identity, a currency, yeah, the currency that they will allow you to have, and you know it'll be digital, and safety. You shouldn't take that away from them. They should have the digital identity. If you try hard, they implied you might be able to stay outside, But for anybody, quote, who wants to be part of the digital inclusion, digital society, they will provide for that. Don't fall for it, folks, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.